If your highly sensitive child is struggling with aggressive behaviors toward younger siblings, even toward a baby sibling, this episode is a do not miss. In today's episode, my client Natasha is going to share her family's transformation story. They literally went from their four-year-old being aggressive toward their baby and breaking glass to their four-year-old being a regulated little girl with her spark back. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place. Because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey, friend, welcome back to Raised Resilient. I'm your host, Dr. Hillary, and I am so glad you're here. In today's episode, you are going to get for the first time an inside look at how my Chaotic Connection program transforms family dynamics. Because what most people don't realize is that a highly sensitive child who is struggling with challenging behaviors and constant meltdowns, it is a family dynamic issue, not an individual child issue. And it has to be addressed from that perspective or things will not get better. So in today's episode, you're going to hear how my client, Natasha, eliminated her four-year-old highly sensitive daughter's daily meltdowns and aggressive behaviors toward her baby sister. And Natasha is actually a fellow psychologist. And so while she thought that she would have the tools to help her child if her child was ever struggling like this, she really found herself not knowing what to do next. Natasha knew, though, that the dynamic that her family was currently living in was not sustainable. And so she reached out for help. And her story is really powerful. So before we get into that, I wanted to just say, if you are also struggling, and if you, like Natasha, know that your current family dynamic of constant meltdowns and walking on eggshells so as not to upset your highly sensitive child even further is just not sustainable, then book a free breakthrough session with me. We'll talk about what's going on. We'll figure out if working together is the next right step. And if it's not, I'm going to point you in the right direction. So book your call at raisedresilient.com/breakthrough. I cannot wait to talk to you. Seriously, it doesn't have to be this hard, okay? I so badly want this to get better for you, and I know that it can. So book your free breakthrough session if you're struggling. And without further ado, here is Natasha's story. All right, Natasha, well, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to do this.
It's so funny because now you're getting to be on this podcast that you actually have shared that you listened to for a really long time before we worked together. So that's so fun.
Yeah, this is fun. Thank you.
So why don't you share a little bit about what your parenting journey was like before we worked together in the Chaotic Connection program?
So I have a four-year-old daughter and a one-year-old daughter, and we didn't have many issues before my second came along. But even though I'm a psychologist also, and I knew all the things to know, or so I thought, and I'd read books about siblings without rivalry, and I'd read a book about called The Second Baby Book, and I'd really prepared, and I talked to heaps of people. I went and saw a perinatal psychologist. I really thought I was prepared to handle the whole two kids thing and make sure that my second didn't struggle that much. And I knew she always would, because having a new sibling is a struggle, but I really thought I'd prepared myself. But we struggled a lot. So she was around just before three, before my second came along. And initially it was all honeymoon and beautiful, and she was so infatuated with the baby. And then slowly, because hormones for me, sleep deprivation for me, and she had a lot of other changes happening in her life, she really, really struggled. So that prompted me to, in desperation, just ask for support or suggestions, just anything. I think I put a post on a Facebook parenting group, and that's actually where you responded to me. Not in a professional capacity, I think you just responded as another mum kind of thing. And I genuinely found your response helpful at the time. I was like, of all the responses that have come through, this one actually makes sense and resonates. And, from being a psychologist as well, you were mentioning things things that really aligned with my therapeutic style and what I know about attachment theory and all of that. So that was really, really cool. And then you told me about, you're like, oh, I actually have this podcast that you might find helpful. So based on the helpfulness of your response, I was like, yeah, for sure, I'll check this out. And I was listening to that podcast for like probably nearly a year. And even though it was so, so helpful in so many ways, a lot of the episodes, and I'd listened to pretty much every single episode, we were still struggling a lot. My eldest just had a lot going on and a lot of big feelings. And we just sort of were really, really, really struggling. And that's when I heard that last episode from you about that you were going to take a break from the podcast because you were running this course, and to reach out if you thought the course could be helpful. And that's when I reached out to you.
Yeah. And that's a really common time for highly sensitive kids to start to struggle, is when they get that new sibling and they're out of their depth. They don't know how to make sense of it. And I think it's a really destabilizing event for all kids. But I think for our highly sensitive kids, it is deeply destabilizing.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's when a lot of us recognize like, oh, I think my kid is deeply feeling, right?
Yeah, because I never would have put that label on her before this, because like even as a baby and a toddler, she was actually pretty independent, pretty chilled, not very affectionate, not very needy.
Yeah. And that's actually really common. Did you know that? That actually a lot of people think highly sensitive kids are probably the kids who were colicky as babies and really difficult as toddlers. And that's actually not the case. They are often very, very easy temperament babies.
But yeah, no, definitely the way, you know, she's really struggled so much this last year and a bit. Yeah, she really fits the profile of a deeply feeling child.
Can you give us a sense of kind of some of the behaviors that you were dealing with and some of the struggles you were having before you decided to join Chaos to Connection?
Yeah. From the early on when my second was first born, it was just a lot of just tantrums and meltdowns and really struggling in like what we would see as like really small things. And all of a sudden she was just, you know, uncontainable. And we're like, what, where did this come from? And slowly escalating to, yeah, where she'd never had issues at childcare and she'd never had issues on play dates. All of a sudden she was really struggling with her peers and going to care and separating from us. And then, you know, it escalated to unsafe behaviors to the baby, you know, biting, pushing, kicking, all those sorts of things. And, you know, it became really, really hard to keep the little one safe. I remember really realizing that I needed to do something differently when we were just playing there with the neighbors and she pretended to hug the baby. And while she was hugging the baby and we were like literally like less than a meter away from her, she bit her finger, clamped down and left massive teeth marks on her finger, baby's fingers.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah. And like I could not control, like I was fuming. And I remember like needing to take space from her and calling my partner and being like, I am really having trouble like managing my anger right now. Like I'd, you know, never been closer to hitting my child than that moment. And I didn't, but I was very close and I could see how people get to that. So then that's when like I think I upped the ante on trying to support her and listening to more of the podcast and like trying, because I knew like I wasn't doing enough, even though I thought I knew all the things, I didn't. We were still really struggling. And then the intensity of the meltdowns increased and like how quick they would happen over nothing, you know, over something like I stirred her breakfast for her and she wanted to, she slammed a door and broke on the back of the pantry door is a spice rack and all the glass from all the spice jars broke and I'd spent all this time cleaning it and I was like, this is not okay, you know, for stirring your breakfast without your permission, which I do every other morning. Like I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. Like I need help.
You describe the experience so many parents have, which is that these meltdowns seem to come out of nowhere. It seems like almost like a hair trigger. Things that you do all the time all of a sudden spark this explosive meltdown. And like you said, the image of the glass breaking, and that's such a difficult moment. It's a safety issue. You've got a baby that you're also trying to take care of in that moment. And then, of course, trying to be there for her feelings. And also aggression towards younger siblings, which again is really, really common with our deeply feeling kids. It sparks a primal response in us. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the program and kind of how things shifted for you all as a result?
Yeah, definitely. But I genuinely started to see her differently because I think with how long and how much we were struggling, I really did start to, unfortunately, see her as the cause of the problem, and that, like, why did she need to be so difficult, and why did she need to make everything so difficult, et cetera, et cetera. And I had this, I genuinely saw her differently. I saw her smallness and her vulnerability and her amazingness. Like, you know, she's an absolutely great, vibrant kid because of the shifts I had made in seeing her differently and realizing deeply things about how I had been with her and how that was contributing to our patterns. Because those shifts had happened, she was getting her spark back. And I remember saying it to my partner when Bubs came along, like, she's lost her spark. She's just not the same anymore. It's like, it sounds so dramatic, but like something had died in her. Like, she just wasn't herself anymore. And yeah, so a couple of weeks in, when I had made those huge shifts, I saw her differently, and her little personality and spark had come back. And that, like, I can't explain it, and I sound so like daggy, but like there was a spark in her eyes again, and that little cheek had come back. And, you know, that was a huge relief. And like, don't get me wrong, it's not like that's it, that magical moment where she got her spark back and then went for it happily ever after. It's definitely still been challenging, but nowhere near to the same extent. Like before, it just felt like there was no hope and that's it. This was destined to be our, you know, the remainder of our lives, and how are we going to keep doing this? Whereas now it's like there are the ups and downs, but the downs aren't as down and the ups are more frequent, and we know how to manage the downs now.
Yes, I love that. I mean, parenting really is ups and downs. No matter what we know and no matter how in tune we are with our kids, parenting is hard because we are literally raising another human with their own agenda and their own beliefs and ideas and needs. But when you are parenting a highly sensitive child who is struggling, and you're in the depths of cycles of disconnection and huge meltdowns, it really does feel like you lose sight of the amazing little person that you're raising. I have been there with my own child, and I've come out of that. And it's really beautiful to be able to say, you know what? Yes, there are still downs, but I know how to deal with them.
Yeah, exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your experience in the program? What was that like for you?
Yeah, the actual information presented in your videos is brilliant. I feel like as a psychologist, I can say that even more so because it was very well presented. So just on that alone, I guess I want to speak to the credibility and the greatness of the material and the way it was presented and the way it was structured in terms of the modules and the way they were sequenced. I thought was really, really good too. It's immersive and really experiential. It takes you away from like the cognitive and the intellectual space into the feeling space or the affective space. I think that's where the difference is. The experiential nature of it is what makes the internal shifts, which are the ones that lead to lasting change. And even when we get into yucky habits and patterns again here, they're the things I'm drawing back on and going, oh, yeah. Whereas if it was just information, I'd probably forget it anyway. But probably the two other most helpful parts of the program, definitely the one-on-one Voxer. That's just ridiculously helpful. In the moment when something is happening or when something's on my mind or when I've just done a reflection exercise and I've got thoughts on it and how it links back to something, the fact that I could just talk that through freely at my own time when it was convenient to me and that you'd get back to me fairly quickly, even though I'm on the other side of the world, that was so helpful because it's personalized. So that was unbelievably helpful. And I think, yeah, probably the biggest part of the program that was helpful because it was so tailored. Then the other part would be the group calls. And unfortunately, I really couldn't participate in them live because I am on the other side of the world and it was like 5 o'clock in the morning my time. And I think I came to one.
You did come to one.
And I was like, I'm half asleep. It's dark outside. Like, and I was outside so that I didn't wake the kids up. And I was like, I'm not doing this again. Right. But I was able to luckily listen to the recordings of them. And even just being able to do that and hearing other people's experiences and transformations, that was really, really, really helpful. It's like so validating to see other people experience some of the same stuff, because, you know, in my own circle of friends, there's not many that are struggling to the extent I was. I just felt pretty alone in it all. So being able to listen to those videos and hearing from other people was really, really helpful. The exercises were awesome too, even though I hated them at the same time. The reflection exercises, they were really, really helpful. And I used to think that it was all her fault. Then realizing, wow, so much of how I'm behaving and responding and reacting really was contributing to the problem. The patterns that we were in, being able to make those shifts came from those exercises as well. So
yes, that's why I included them, because it's so important that we reflect on how we're parenting and what's coming up in the moments that we're struggling as parents. And there's a lot of good research to tell us that this is how we actually change our parenting. And you are not alone in feeling like your child is the problem. I think most parents who get to the point where they're struggling so much that they need this kind of in-depth support, they are seeing their child as the problem. And I think there's a lot of, why am I having to raise such an intense child? And why didn't I get an easier child? That can come up for us. And that doesn't make you bad. That makes you human and very, very normal. So the fact that you were able to shift that mindset and to see it not as something she's doing to you or giving you a hard time, but to see a little vulnerable child who's having a hard time and needs your help to develop the skills to do the right things with her feelings is a pretty massive shift. Even though intellectually, I'm sure you knew that as a psychologist, right? But to actually put that into practice and embody that is a very different thing.
But I think I'd forgotten that just because of how long and how much we were struggling.
And I think it's easy to get to that place, right? We don't even realize that we're there. So what would you say to a parent who is considering doing this program? They're on the fence. Maybe they're worried about the investment or they're worried about the time commitment, or is this going to work? Is it going to be helpful? What would you say to somebody who's in that position?
I was pretty desperate the day we had that phone call, and I was on the fence, especially because of the financial commitment. And I did have doubts on whether it would work. And I think what got me over the line to say yes was how helpful I'd found the podcast. I guess I had a trust in you and your skill level and your intentions. And I know, like, you know, just from listening to your podcast and how helpful they are, and, you know, they're just a freely available podcast to people, that you genuinely do want to help people. So there was that sense for me, and I think that trust in you and how helpful I'd already found the material that wasn't tailored to me and highly sensitive children, I was like, okay, this is good stuff. And like, actually, just before I'd talked to you, I'd signed up to this free parenting course that we have over here. And like, if I'm honest, they keep emailing me and I haven't even logged into it once. It's still sitting there. I've got access to it for another 9 months or something. And who knows, maybe one day I'll go look at it. But I don't know. I was like, yeah, but I don't trust your material. And I don't know if I can be bothered putting in all this time for something that I don't even know if it's going to be good. Whereas I had a really strong sense that what you had to offer was going to be worthwhile and helpful. And I was willing to put in the time and effort. So then the final thing that I really, really did struggle with was the financial commitment, because it's definitely not a small amount of money. And so it was like, whoa, that's a lot to put in. And the thing that got me over the line for that was, I don't know if it's what you said it or that I came up with it, but really the realization that if we continue to struggle the way we were struggling, and I guess as well, like being a psychologist, and I do work with a lot of teenagers, and knowing what their struggles look like later on, if our patterns continued, it kind of scared me. And also thinking, well, like, I'd be spending a bigger amount of money on therapy for everyone and just interventions and other things. So I really saw it as an investment now for saving us, or not money, saving money later, but saving us all a lot of potential heartache and struggles and difficulty later on. And like, now that I've done it and I have put in, we have come such a long way. And my partner, who was extremely dubious and hesitant and kind of like, you're an idiot, as if you're thinking of spending that much money on this, he's also come a long way. Even though he didn't do the course anywhere near as immersively as me, he did enough that, and he's willing to listen to me when I say, do you remember this part of this video, for example? And he didn't do the reflection exercises, but he would talk the responses through with me when I'd say, hey, did you see that one? And I'd say what my response was, and then we'd have a chat about it. So we came such a long, long, long way just overall. And we are still applying everything that we've learned with our kids. And now I'm actually starting to apply it with my second as well. It's been an extremely worthwhile investment. And I really did hesitate on that. But if people are willing to put in the work and the time, then I would say it's a worthwhile investment, and will probably actually be return of investment or whatever. It's definitely going to come back to you in lots of different ways, not just financially. Because yeah, our home life is much, much happier, and I am much, much more relaxed and much, much more aware, and we can actually go out and do things again. And I know now how to schedule our lives and our days in a way that's going to get the best out of everyone, whereas there was a lot of things I didn't realize before. But yes, definitely it was a worthwhile investment. If I'm honest, I'd say to someone, don't bother making that investment if you're not actually willing to put in the time and the work. Like, I get clients that show up to therapy every single week, but they're so passive in their appointments and they don't get anything out of it. But I'm coming. Like, why aren't I getting better? Like, why aren't you fixing me? And I'm like, because you're not doing anything other than sitting there and looking at me for an hour a week. So if you're going to be passive and expect that, you know, Hillary's just going to fix you, don't bother. But if you're willing to put in the work and the time, well and truly, it'll be worth it.
Yes, I love that so much. And it's such a good point. You're going to get out of it so much if you show up and you do the work and you're open-minded. And I mean, you were the perfect example of that because you came in, despite being a psychologist, you came in with a beginner's mindset, even though you were not a beginner at all. And not just that, but taking everything seriously and being on the other side of the world and still making use of every part of the program. And I mean, that is really what needs to happen because like you said, if people keep going in the way that they're going and they're struggling, nothing changes if nothing changes, right? And where we end up is not a good place if we keep on struggling and moving further away from each other. And to your point about your partner, it's really interesting how, you know, you and I know family systems, right? How one partner can really immerse themselves and the other may not even fully participate. And yet, because one part of the system changes, the whole system changes. And that is such a beautiful thing. So I always tell people, even if your partner is not fully on board, that's okay.
Yeah.
They will absorb the shifts just because you are going to shift so much.
Yeah. And that's definitely what we've seen in our family, which I didn't expect necessarily, but yeah, it did happen and it's continuing to happen.
Yay. Well, thank you so, so, so much for coming on here and sharing your experience. I think this is going to be really, really helpful for other parents to hear. And I'm just so excited for you that things have shifted so much. It's just been so great getting to talk to you again, too. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you very much for inviting me to do this. It's been lovely.
Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raised resilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.